Love alone. We're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning. Stand with me if you would. John chapter 20 is our text, and we'll read our verses this morning, beginning in verse number 19. John chapter 20. You know, it's kind of amazing. For Sunday school, we're coming into the last chapter of our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. On Wednesday nights, we're coming into the last chapter of our study through the book of Hosea, and in not very many weeks, I think, we're going to be closing in on the last chapter of our study in the book of John. It's amazing how all that is happening at once. You know, what's neat is when we study through the scriptures, God has a message for us that the timing, only God can get the glory for it, because we're not creating the topics, we're just teaching the word as God says. Say what God says. That's what a sermon is. But the timing is what's miraculous about it. Like, wow, this is just the message. Maybe you've said this. This is just the message I needed. How did the pastor know? Well, he didn't. But God knew. Amen. And it's my hope that this morning it'll be just the same. As a matter of fact, I feel pretty confident that it's just the same. Verse 19. We'll read verse 19 all the way to verse number 23 of John 20. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." So Jesus had died on the cross. He had been buried. He'd raised again from the dead. We'd seen already that Mary Magdalene and the disciples had come to the tomb and saw the empty tomb. Jesus visited Mary and sent message to her, or rather gave message to her to send for the disciples to tell them. So no doubt she would have done that. And now we have the disciples waiting there in this place with the door shut. And the implication there in verse 19 is the door was locked. It says because of fear of the Jews. It says Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Verse 20. "When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained." Father, this morning we need you one more time, I pray, as we open your word and study. I pray your spirit would work in our hearts. Help us to trust as you work in us, to know that you're guiding us, that we would have courage to obey you. And we'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When Jesus met with the disciples, he had given them a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the mission we are determined to fulfill even still today. It's the mission to reach the world with the gospel. Jesus had told the disciples he wanted them to do that, but the disciples got comfortable in Jerusalem. They had their church. They had their fellowship. And people were being saved right in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, in the early part of the book of Acts, after Jesus had said, "I want you to be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria." These are the regions right around Jerusalem where the church was, where the disciples were. He wanted them to go in the regions about Jerusalem, Samaria, north and south. But then he said, "I want you to go to the uttermost part of the world. And I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a testimony of the gospel. To do this, you're going to have to die to yourself." Which says that's what witness means. It means to die to yourself. And so we have to put ourselves on the side so that we might obey what God wanted us to do. The disciples knew the mission. They knew the commission. They knew the command. They knew what their responsibility was. But they weren't fulfilling the responsibility. Not completely, because they'd gotten comfortable in Jerusalem. They had their church. Have you ever heard this? Us four and no more. They had their four. They had their congregation. They had their people. Like the t-shirt says, me and my peeps. They had their people. And how could it be better? I announced in Sunday school this morning that I had, I think, the best birthday, maybe, that I'd had yesterday. Brother Chris messaged me. Shame on him for being gone today. All the way in New Jersey in the frozen tundra. And he said, how was your birthday? Did you do anything fun? Yeah, we had a ladies' meeting, which was amazing. And then we had a, wasn't a part of that, but I got to see all of my favorite people. And we put desks together and we worked on sermons. And we did, yeah, but you know what? I was with my favorite people. And it was an amazing day. And what ends up happening, what ended up happening with the disciples is they were with their favorite people. And they were comfortable. Yeah. And I'm just okay with this. I'm okay with this. This is the best church in the world. Forget the valley. This is the best church in the entire world. Right here, Western Hills Baptist Church. There's nowhere else I would rather be this morning than right here with you. And the disciples, I'm sure, felt a little bit like that. They had each other. And they got comfortable. But Jesus didn't say, get comfortable. He didn't say, have a love for each other and just let it stop right there. No, he said, go to the regions about and then go to the world and deliver the gospel because people need to be saved. But they weren't doing it. So what God then allowed is something he often in our lives allows, and it's difficulties. And we wonder, why does God let hard things happen to us? Like Job, why did God do this to me? I didn't do anything to deserve this. And sometimes we get frustrated with God. But all the time, God is allowing things to happen in our life. It's like that time when I got pulled over. And I got pulled over because I didn't have my seatbelt on. You know, I was in college when this happened. But I had one of those cars that has the seatbelt that's automatically attached to the door. So I literally, when I got in my car, had my seatbelt on. And as soon as the lights came on, I wondered, what is this all about? But in my heart, I knew. My attitude was stinky. And God used that to help me see, you know, you have a stinky attitude. Did you know God will let things happen to you in your life because he wants you to see that you're not where you need to be? Yep. The disciples experienced persecution. They started to suffer. And the reason they were suffering, at least in part, was because they weren't fulfilling the mission God had for them. He wanted them to go and they were staying. He didn't want them to remain comfortable. He wanted them to have a heart for the mission to reach the world with the gospel, not to be comfortable in the love they had for each other. And so they were persecuted. And there was a man named Saul, starting with a sermon, a great sermon in Acts chapter 7 by a man named Stephen. And you just study that sermon. You want to know how to preach a good sermon? Preacher boys, study Acts chapter 7. Stephen preached an expositional, inductive sermon that I'm telling you at the end, it gets you on the edge of your seat unless you start getting your toes stomped on, which is what happened to the Jews there when he started to tell them that they killed their own Messiah. And the Bible says that they started to grind their teeth, gnashing on Stephen, finally culminating to the point where they threw him into a pit, dragging him out of the town and starting with whoever the ringleader would have been, likely Saul, casting the first stone, and then all of Israel throwing stones until Stephen draws his last breath, raising his hands in the air as the heavens open up and say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow, how can a man die that way? That's chapter 7 as it ends. Coming into chapter 8, the Bible says the church began to scatter because of the persecution. They went north, south, east, and west. Did you think they hid under rocks? No. They preached the gospel. Did you know God used the persecution to accomplish the mission that he had already called them to do? To go into the world, and the persecution caused them in Acts chapter 8 verse 1 to do what God called them to do. Now God is going to commission his disciples. He's going to call them to that mission. This is the early phases of the transition to the church where Jesus wants the disciples to go into this world and preach the gospel and win people to Christ and start churches. But they're discouraged. They're discouraged because they'd lost their leader. And they'd They had heard from Mary that Jesus had risen from the dead and spoken to them, and they're confused about this. So the Bible says in our passage that the disciples separated to the side into a room, into a place, and they locked the doors, literally locking the doors, saying that they were afraid, demonstrating that they were afraid of the persecution that was to come. Jesus had already suffered. Jesus had already died, and the disciples were the followers of Jesus. We don't have to reason about this too long to know who's next. They would have known that they're the next ones on the list, the hit list. Peter probably number one on the list. And so they're in the room, they're locked in there, and they're contemplating. They're talking. They're deciding, what are we going to do? Jesus is gone, the ministry is crumbling, what do we do about this? And probably thoughts of dissolving are taking place here. Conversations of scattering, dissolving, but not to preach the gospel, but to try to run for our lives. And it's in that context, it's in the context of despair, it's in the context of discouragement, that the Bible says that Jesus appears in the presence of the disciples. Now, it says that the doors were closed. The implication is that they were locked for fear of the Jews. And the next is to say that Jesus appeared in their presence. It doesn't say if he walked through the door. It doesn't say if he appeared, appeared in their presence. But he wasn't there, and then suddenly he was there. The Bible says that it implies that they would have been shocked by this appearance. Although they would have heard from Mary already that Jesus had risen from the dead, and she had had a conversation, and Jesus commanded her to go tell the disciples. And so that would have been in their mind, but they would have been shook by this. They would have wondered, what is happening here, and who is this? And so to ease their fear, he says, peace be unto you. But then he said, he showed them his marks in his hands, and he showed them the piercing in his side. And all this was to say, this is him. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is our master. This is the king. This is him. This is the Savior. And that sadness and that discouragement and all of the anxiousness and all of the fear and all of the worry would have suddenly have transitioned and changed into joyfulness. And so we have the imagery of the disciples in a really difficult place and having no thoughts of moving forward with the gospel, and Jesus appears in their presence and he encourages them. I think that happens when we come to church, don't you? When we come to this place, we carry baggage with us. And there's nobody who doesn't. And when you're here, the Word of God is declared and God begins to work in our hearts. He speaks to us and he says, I'm here. It's like he comes through the darkness. He appears in our presence. And you know, you can't always know when it happens. I used to think that maybe as a preacher trying to deliver a message that I can, that I could maybe forecast when God's going to show up in your heart. But I just can't. Because we do the message, and somewhere along the way, because your heart is open and the Word of God is being declared, God shows up and he begins to work in your heart. And you come and you're down and it's dark and you're needing some answers. And you show up and the Word of God is declared, and somewhere in there, God speaks to us. Amen. And he says, I'm here. Amen. I've not left you. I'm gonna go with you. And all of those pressures that we feel, and all of those sadnesses that we feel, and the burdens that we carried in, God begins to cut them loose. And he replaces them with joy. He wants us to have that. Why? Because when we leave this place, we are to leave equipped. We are to leave with a mission in our heart. And a motive in our heart come from him. And he needs to cut all of that loose. Because when we walk through those doors, there's a world that needs to hear the message that we have. Amen. You have to cut the baggage loose while you're here. And he wants to do that in you. So you can carry the light of the gospel with you out into this dark world. And shine for him. And Jesus is doing that. He just showed up. He showed himself to them. and their disheartened emotional state was transitioned, it transformed into a joyful state. And then God told them the mission. He said, here, I have something for you. You know, the passage, the verse 21 here we're about to read, commentators call this the Great Commission of the Gospel of John. Let's take a look at it, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So Jesus came into this world. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, by the way, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we know why Jesus came. He came to speak to the hearts of men, to compel, to call us to salvation, to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I want to save your soul. And that's why he came. He said, the mission that I came to accomplish was to live this life, to live in this world, in the flesh of man, to die on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind, to raise again the third day, conquering sin, conquering death, and bringing the ability to have for mankind to have everlasting life through him. And so he came accomplishing the mission God had for him, and now he says, as I was sent, I'm sending you. I have a mission for you. I have something that I'm calling you to do to win the lost, to bring people to salvation. That's the mission. Look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know, it's interesting. There's so much confusion about this, but let me say that God has called his disciples to get to deliver the gospel to the world. Is there any way that they would be able to do that without God's help, without God's empowerment? Can we win people to Christ without God's power? Can we accomplish the mission without the power of God on our life? And so God says, the scripture says that Jesus breathed on them. I think this is amazing too. This wasn't in my notes, but I'm coming down here for this one. I just now thought of this. I love it when this happens. You know, this is kind of an illusion. Whenever Jesus said breathe, it's an illusion. He's alluding back to something that he did early on. All the way, as a matter of fact, friends, all the way to the beginning. Whenever the Bible says that he took the dust of the ground and he created man. And the Bible says that man breathed into the nostrils of man. And man became a living what? And so life came from God. Life came from God. God says, you want everlasting life? He breathes. And gives us the opportunity through the work of the Holy Ghost for not just life, but everlasting life. That one was worth coming down, I think. Everlasting life. Creation in Christ. Let's go on. Verse number 23. Whosoever sin ye remit. This is the preachers. This is the disciples. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. So Jesus has given the commission to the disciples. He says, I'm going to empower you to deliver the message of the gospel to this world. As I was sent by the Father to come into this world and to give salvation, the chance for salvation to all of mankind, to seek and to save that which was lost. And the power of the Holy Ghost resting on the disciples, the message of the gospel as it's declared. The Bible says, whose sins ye remit. The implication there is you're going to preach the gospel. And then when that message is declared, there are going to be some who receive the message. And those that receive the message that you declare, their sins are going to be remitted. And then you're going to deliver the message. And you're going to preach the gospel. And there will be people who hear that message and they won't receive the gospel. They won't receive the message. And as a matter of fact, they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those that you preach the gospel to who reject the message of the gospel, their sins will remain and they will not be forgiven. You know, what God is not saying here? God is not saying that the power of forgiveness rests in the will, in the mind, in the heart of the man. But that God has given us a responsibility to deliver the message. And do you know what message that is that we deliver? It's the message of forgiveness. You can be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. And you can't work your way out of guilt. You can't erase guilt. You can't erase sins. Sometimes I think we people think that they can erase their past by doing good deeds, or outweigh the sins of this life by doing good enough. But what we need is forgiveness. Amen. What mankind needs is the message of the gospel and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so that's what we preach. That's what we're preaching this morning. I'm just going to plainly say it. This morning we're preaching that you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven of your sins. If you're lost this morning, God wants to forgive you. He wants to save you.
Amen.
He wants you to turn to Him. But He won't make you turn to Him. He won't make you decide to be saved. You have to choose to be. There was a missionary in Nebraska who was presenting his ministry on deputation. He's on his way to England, Brother Riley Barrett. And while he's preaching, he's talking about the difficulty of going to England and preaching the gospel there. England's a difficult place. There's the absence of God. It's considered an atheistic place. And that's, I would say, the dominant religion is atheism. There's no belief in God. And that's where God has called him to bring the message. It's a very difficult ministry to win people to Christ there. And as he's delivering the message and he's telling testimony about being called and equipped to go to England, he's studying in the book of Isaiah, specifically in chapter 6, when God called Isaiah to go to Israel, and Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And when you read past that text right there, "Here am I, send me," by the way, that's what we all should say. "Here am I, send me," to fulfill the mission, to deliver the message. But then God said to Isaiah, "When you go to Israel, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to the message." Isaiah then would have asked this question. If you're calling me to go to Israel and deliver a message from you to them, and you already know that they're not going to listen, then why are you telling me to go? Oh, this is a double whammy. It's getting real serious now. Because I never called you to go there to win people. Follow Him. Follow me. It's not your job to win them.
Amen.
God says, "I win them."
Amen.
Do you know what your job is? Your job is to go. It's your job to give them a chance. It's your job to go to Israel and preach the message. And if they reject that, they're not rejecting you. God says they're rejecting me. But what you did is you gave them a chance. And Israel won't be able to say they didn't have a chance. Because you went, Isaiah. And Brother Barrett says, "I know God wants me to go to England. And sometimes I wonder about it. It doesn't feel that it makes sense to me. Because it's a people who won't listen. But we don't go because people will or won't listen. We go because that's what God called us to do."
Yep.
And when we go to them, what we're doing is we're delivering the gospel to them. And we're giving them a chance to do what each and every one of you have a chance to do right now.
Yeah.
To hear this message.
to hear the gospel, to know you need to be saved, to know that God's working in you because the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and there's the breath of the Holy Spirit through the message of the gospel as God says to you, you need this. This is not a theory for your friends. This isn't some mystery out there for somebody who starts to figure it out. No, this is for you. Amen. You need to be saved. And God is trying to break into that hard heart of yours. And He uses the message, like this morning, as we declare it, that God, this morning, through the message of the gospel, is giving you a chance to let your heart be broken and come to this altar and ask Christ to save you and to forgive you. The offer is here. The offer forgiveness is before you this morning. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's for any person who decides to receive the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Anybody can be saved. Not everybody will be saved. But why, Pastor? Why won't everybody be saved? Because people will hear this message and they will decide to reject it. They will decide they don't need this. They have a different way, or they have their own way, as God's trying to speak to you. And this morning, here's what you have. You have a chance. And you can be saved. Just like one scruffy, hairy guy came in May, several months ago, and sat over under that window over there. And we wondered about this guy. I'm going to talk about him because he's not here this morning. And you can tease him about that. Scruffy beard. Seemed like a nice fella. Just seemed lost. We, from the Army, so we tease those Army guys a little bit. And I say we, meaning like I have something in it, but... He was Mother's Day, by the way. Heard the Mother's Day sermon. Gets my phone number. Or actually, I messaged him on Monday. And then he started to message me. And he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I'm like, what about? We need to talk. He came into my office that week after the first service that he came. And he said, Pastor, after you preached that message, it was a Mother's Day message. Did I say that already? Mm-hmm. Mother's Day? And he said, I knew I needed to be saved. And I was on I-10 on my motorcycle. And I couldn't even pull over. I asked the Lord to save me. I'm like, man, you're going to have a hard time whenever somebody says, where exactly were you when you asked the Lord to save you? On the I-10 somewhere on a motorcycle, right? He asked the Lord to save him. You know what we did on that day? We did what we're doing today. We're just preaching the message. Amen. We're giving people a chance. Yeah. I didn't know he would do this. I didn't know that he would be faithful. I didn't know that a few months later, God would call him to be a pastor. Amen. I was telling a pastor friend of mine at a fellowship meeting the other day. Of course, Brother Chris is there, and my boys are all on the front row, and all the pastors have to stand up and say who they are and where they're from. And I say my name and where I'm from. And I say my wife's with me. And then I say I got all my boys here. And Brother Chris was right there with all my boys. And then I slapped him on the shoulder. And I sat down because he's one of my boys, you know. And then another pastor's like, he doesn't look like the rest of the guys, you know. You know, it's one of my boys, though. How could I know that God would do something like this? We just give people a chance. Did you know that sometimes when we give people a chance, there'll be people who let their heart be broken? And they'll come and they'll get saved. And then along with that, watch this. Along with that, then they start to become faithful. And then they start to let God work in them. God's not done with me yet. It's like the song, He's still working on me. And God begins to transform us. And He opens our eyes. And we change and we become more like Him. And we serve Him and we do what He wants us to do. We start to fulfill the mission He's called us to fulfill. And to get to this point, what do? We give people a chance. We just give people a chance. This morning, it might be that you have allowed discouragement to come into your soul. Why? Well, because sometimes we've been giving people a chance and they're not taking it. We try and we invest and we give and we give. And by the way, when you're a giver and you love somebody, you give and you give, right? But then you're like, okay, I'm not going to give anymore. Nope, you don't do that, do you? You just keep giving and you keep giving. And you're like, okay, but when is it going to work? I mean, I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm investing and I'm investing. And it seems like those investments, there's no return. As a matter of fact, sometimes we invest and we invest and we invest. And then the ones we love and invest in, they walk away. And we become discouraged and disheartened. We're like, what is the point of this investment? What good is it doing? They're not turning. They have no interest. They're just stomping on my giving and my love and my grace to them. But God says, don't be disheartened. God says, I'm here. I'm with you and I have a mission for you. I have something I want you to accomplish. I want you to go. As I was called to go, I want you to go. And you know what God is telling us this morning? He wants us to keep investing. He wants us to keep giving. By the way, let's not think about ourselves this morning. Let's be thinking about those God wants us to reach. He wants us to keep giving. He wants us to keep loving. He wants us to keep, you know, making efforts. He doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to continue to pray and to continue to love. Like, well, it's never going to work. First of all, you don't know that it's never going to work. But that's not the point anyway. God didn't call us to reach people. He called us to be obedient and to trust Him and to go and to give people a chance. And you know, when you're faithful to do that, there will be those. They'll say, this is just what I need. You know, sometimes people will receive it quick, but sometimes it takes a while, right? We know some people like that, don't we? Sometimes it's quick, but sometimes it takes a while because our hearts get so hard. And so we just keep being faithful. We keep doing what God wants us to do. Keep swinging the hammer of the gospel and let God do His work through the work of the Holy Ghost in the hearts of everybody that we're trying to reach out to. Don't be discouraged. Can you imagine the emotions of the disciples before Jesus appeared? It would have been not just discouragement on the level of, oh man, this is really, I'm just so discouraged, but I'm going to keep going. No. This is the kind of discouragement where we're probably contemplating dissolve. Jesus appeared and He gave the mission to go and to give the world a chance. Verse number 23 of our text. Look again, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. You know why? Because you gave them a chance and they turned to Christ. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You know why they're retained? Because you gave them a chance and they didn't receive it. But you know what you did in both cases? You gave them a chance. You can't make them receive it. Sometimes we wish we could. You know, it's like whenever the kids are little, when they're real little, and you just make them do what they're supposed to do. Because they're kids. Like, well, this is what we're going to do. Whether you like it or not. And I'm pretty sure you like it, don't you? Yes, Dad, I like it. That's what I thought. But then they grow up. And like, it's not quite the same. And they're going to make their choices, aren't they? You can't make them choose. You can't make them. But you can give them a chance. And so we're faithful. We're faithful. This morning, this encouragement is two parts. First of all, if you need to be saved this morning, God's giving you a chance, but He's not going to make you. Amen. You would be wise to receive. You would be wise to let your heart be broken and get saved. It's not complicated. Why is it so hard? Because our heart is hard. It's not hard to be saved. It's hard to turn your heart to Christ at times. Yep. But you have a chance this morning. And then the second thing this morning I believe God has for us is to be faithful, to keep doing what we know He wants us to do. Not to be discouraged or disheartened in our call to give people a chance. Yeah. Keep giving tracts away. Keep telling people about Christ.
Keep having a heart to reach others. Keep praying for your family. Keep praying for your son. Keep praying for your daughter.
Amen.
Keep praying for your grandkids, your neighbors, your coworkers. Don't give up. Just give them a chance. And it might be that there are some God's going to call you to go. And let's answer that call. Lord, what would you have me to do this morning?